How's that? There we go. You got the rookie in here tonight, so we'll have some fun, I hope. Thanks for coming. What an honor and privilege to stand before you tonight. I'm humbled to stand in this pulpit where our pastor has faithfully taught us so much Bible doctrine for so many years. Please pray for Joe and Johanna as they travel to and from the funeral for his dear friend's mother. And now you're stuck with me for the next two nights, not just tonight. I've had the opportunity each year at the annual meeting to present an update on Philippi ministry, but Joe thought it might be a good idea to give a more in-depth overview without the time constraints or the other speakers that we have to deal with during the annual meeting. There's a lot going on, and I know everybody likes to get out, so you kind of cut it off short. He had talked with me about it, and then out of the clear blue, I got a text on Sunday evening. So I'm honored to be here with you. So what I'm going to do is give you an overview. Some items will be a repeat, but it's my goal that you will have a good understanding of what we do, how we do it, and see how God has poured out His grace on us. I'm going to call this the journey. I get asked all the time, why a prison ministry? I've had a prison warden tell me that prisoners shouldn't have nice Bibles because they're in prison. They don't deserve them. He's literally taken them away from them and made them use some standard Gideon Bible so that they didn't have their study Bibles available. I've been called a liberal because I go into prisons and present the gospel. And I even had a neighbor of mine tell me, I don't like what you do. I don't think that's right. First, I want to clear up, I'm not a liberal. And I clearly understand the law of volitional responsibility. So these inmates, I don't care what they did or didn't do, they have a debt to pay. That's their responsibility. That's not mine. And I don't take on their burdens. I'm not trying to get anyone out of prison. I'm not trying to help anybody get paroled. That's their responsibility. It's got nothing to do with me. I am trying to help them change the way they think. And I am trying to win as many lost souls as I can by presenting the gospel accurately and clearly each time that opportunity is given. I'm pretty tough on the inmates. I tell them right away they are not a victim of their circumstances. They are a victim of their decisions. And that doesn't always sit well. And I tell them when they start making better decisions, I won't see them in here in the future. But until they keep making the same decisions, I'll see them at one prison or another, maybe the rest of their life. However, I don't care what they do. I don't even care if they did what they said they didn't do or they did do it. It just doesn't matter to me. That's not my business. That's between them and the Lord. But there's always a but in life. The last time I checked, Christ died for them just as He died for us. And on the cross, while one criminal made fun of Him saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." The second criminal stated, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And we find that in Luke 23:41-42. And we know that Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." And that's in Luke 23:43. And from these passages, we see that faith in Christ by the believing criminal resulted in salvation. So I always respond, there's no place I'd rather be than in prison. So how did we get to where we are today? You'll see from our first slide all these fancy little dots. And what does that mean? How does he get there? You have all these questions. First, you probably say, that's amazing. Then you look at it and say, but what does it mean? How does he get there? How can you possibly teach Bible doctrine to all these locations? How do you get them set up? Are they jails? Are they prisons? What's the difference? What do you teach them? Plus other questions, I'm sure. I hope to be able to answer these questions over the next two nights. So let's look at how we started, and we'll go from there and take it to where we are today. In 2006, I was given the opportunity to teach a Bible class at Marion Federal Prison Camp. It was a privilege and an honor, and I met some great men. Most of them are still with Bible Doctrine today, and they certainly love the Lord. I was able to introduce this group of men to the teaching of our pastor, Joe Griffin. And then the door was open for me to provide Bible class notes to them on an ongoing basis. We didn't have a map in those days. It never crossed my mind. But this is what it would look like if we had it. One little peg in Marion, Illinois. During this period, while I was sending Bible class notes to support the men who had positive volition at Marion, I figured I would continue to send them till they left, went home, got transferred, and then I'd move on with my life. I was working. I had plenty of things to do, but God had different plans for me. And during 2007, several of these men transferred to new prisons in different locations across the country. And they took their class notes with them. And then when they got there, they shared them with other inmates. And these new locations included the federal prison camp in Florence, Colorado, the federal prison camp in Yankton, South Dakota, and the federal correctional institution, Lowe, at Forest City, Arkansas. And then something else happened when they got there. The Lord moved these men to these new locations, and they shared Bible doctrine with the inmates at these facilities. Soon we were receiving letters from them saying, how do I get on this list to get the studies on, at that time, the attackers? How do I get any other material you may have to offer? What do you have to offer? We've never seen anything like this. So we started sending materials to them. Besides sending the class notes, we started sending books. Started with Who Loves You, because it's no better book to make sure they have the gospel clearly. And then have it reinforced through God Exists, Safe to Die, all the way up to Divine Pardon. It continues to beat in the gospel. And if my friend Joe Hunt knew how many people his book touched, he would be amazed. We would send the notes out on evenings and weekends to support these men with positive volition to the study of God's Word. And I got to tell you, there were times I just would be glad, wanted them to get out so I could quit doing all this stuff and have more free time. And in 2008, it may have been 2007, I'm not sure, but I found some travel papers where I traveled with Rick in 2008. I went on my first trip with Rick Hughes, and I started to learn from the best evangelist there is around. And it was an amazing training ground. I thought my time at Marion, where you could study the Word of God consistently every single day, all day long, and it was marvelous how the Holy Spirit could clear the cobwebs out of your soul and bring doctrine to life for you. But when I went with Rick and had the opportunity to see what he did, how he did it, consistently, time after time, it was an opportunity that I was shocked was presented to me. I'm grateful to him to this day for that time with him and the time we still have and the training ground that it provided for me. And as I traveled with him and tried to work at the same time, I kept battling that, man, I feel like I ought to be doing this all the time. I ought to be doing this. I can do this in the prisons. And as the Lord closed doors around me and the only door left open was the prison ministry, I said, don't fight it, go with it, and we'll just let the Lord take care of the details. And that's what we did. So by 2007, I was receiving requests from chaplains who had saw our books in the prisons. They had saw the notes. And at that point, they started writing and asking, how do we get these materials for our libraries? How do we get the information in our facility? So we started sending it out. And then it continued to grow. We continued to get these letters. And it was almost a full-time job in 2011 just keeping up with the notes and the books and the request. And we were only in 20 prisons. About 200 inmates were receiving materials. But then the Lord opened another door. I said, okay, here's where your ministry is today. Now here's another opportunity for you. And I received a call from Chaplain Conley at the Potosi Correctional Center. And he said, I'd like for you to come down and teach a Bible class. We've been looking at your materials. We have several guys down here studying along with you. Would you like to come? I said, sure, what the heck? I had no idea what I was getting into. So I decided if I emulated what Rick did in the schools, only transferred it over to the prisons, And if I stuck to what I had learned from Joe Griffin and the Colonel and Rick, I couldn't go wrong. So I went to the correctional center at Potosi, and there were roughly 50 in attendance that night. And it went pretty well, I guess. They invited me back. Here's the first one is a letter here that we received from early on in the books we were sending out. And you see it says right there, these are some of the finest materials I've ever received in my career. That was the response we were getting. And in a minute, you're going to see why they thought this. And then here's a letter from Chaplain Conley that said I did a great job presenting the gospel clearly and I was enthused and all that. And the men loved it and he loved it. And would you like to come back? So they had me scheduled for the next year to come back. It takes that long. There's a lot of details here that we'll get into. But they then passed my name on, this chaplain, to the activities coordinator at the St. Charles County Jail. And she called me and said, how would you like to come in on Sundays? I said, sure, what the heck? And so I went over there on Sunday afternoons. And then my name was passed on to the chaplain at Pacific. And he called and said, hey, I got an opening on Sunday morning. Would you like to come in? And I said, yeah, what the heck, I'll come in. So we started going into these prisons and talking to the inmates and presenting the gospel. But I learned something by going to Potosi. They gave me an hour. Well, there's 20 minutes of praise music. Some of these are pretty good. Some of them are pretty bad. Mark Vessers played with a couple of prisons with me and played the harmonica. And there's some good bands. There's some bad bands. But you're going to get the band whether you like it or not. There's 20 minutes of this stuff. In fact, I was at a funeral a couple of years ago with my wife and daughter. And they were doing all praise music. And I'm singing. And they're looking at me like I'm crazy. How do you know this stuff? And I go, that's because I listen to it every day in prison. That's what they do in all my classes. But I thought I was going to outsmart everybody. I told them, by the time I had 40 minutes left, and oh, by the way, you got to quit at 5 minutes till the hour because there's controlled movement. And everybody has to be out 5 minutes till so they can be at their cells by the top of the hour. So that's all the time I had left was, 30 minutes. So by the time I gave my testimony, and by the time I led them to the gospel, it was over. And I was like, wow, I didn't get much accomplished here. So I said, okay, if you want me to come back, I got to have at least 2 hours. They can have their 20 minutes, but I get an hour and 40. That way, when I cut it off early, we get everybody back. I had plenty of time so I could cover more than just, hey, nice having you here tonight, great music, and it's over. They said yes. And I thought, oh, darn, I can't get out of it this time. So I found out, during this period of time, going to St. Charles and Pacific and to Potosi, getting all these letters in from the chaplain, I told you it'd help you understand a little better. I found out there was no prison ministry in the state of Missouri, in the whole federal bureau of prisons, in the state of Illinois, or in the state of Kansas, where we had received requests from, that taught Bible doctrine. No one provided materials like we provided. No one provided the teaching like we provided. They had never seen anything like this. And it was like, wow, this is pretty amazing. We think that we're isolated. Think how isolated these men are. And what I found out was it was virgin territory. We had people that had never heard this before. And I kept saying, why do you want to hear me? It wasn't me. It was the materials. It was the information we were sending in. And they just couldn't get enough of accurate Bible teaching. So the Lord opened more doors. The problem is it started to upset people. Everybody's got their program. And I started getting a lot of bad feedback because I was teaching grace. Too much grace, I was told. You can't be doing that. It's not that simple. I said, I'm not deviating. I don't, if you don't want me here, I won't come. And the chaplain said, don't worry about it. Chaplain Conley right there said, you're doing the right thing. He goes, I'm Grace Doctrine Church now. He goes, don't even worry about these other people. Then the attack was eternal security. No way. You can't tell this to these men. They may be the reprobate. They're in prison, for goodness sakes. Wait a minute. I think Christ died for them. Now, these are supposedly other believers attached to, denominations. But no, that's just not possible. They are probably going to hell. There's a lot they have to do. That was a problem. And then the kicker was rebound. That was not a good thing at all. That's a license to sin. And you are really teaching these prisoners a bad thing, because they already know how to sin, and now you're giving them a license to do it and a way out. It's always a problem. That's why we need prayer. These guys are nuts, a lot of them. You have no idea. And if you're in prison, you can get any denomination you want. They have Catholics. They have Lutherans. They have Episcopalians. They have Southern Baptists, General Baptists, Free Will Baptists. They have Church of Christ, Church of God, Assembly of God. You name it, they got it. They have the Wiccans. You want to go, you're native, you say you're Native American, they have a sweat lodge for you. And then they have the Nation of Islam. All of these are in prison, and all of them are recruiting, and all of them are protecting their flock. I call them their followers. Islam is actively recruiting in the prisons. You add to that somebody who's got 50 years to serve. You've got somebody that feels disenfranchised. And you got a problem. You've got big issues. Prisons are violent places. Make no doubt about it. You can never forget where you're at. Now, the exception to that, if you're at a camp or a low, you can do that. That's why there's free movement there. Mediums, high, and supermax, which Potosi is the only supermax in the state of Missouri. I've known the last five people put to death there, personally. I know which ones were believers, which ones weren't. The next one that's going to be put to death next week, I know him well. There's some guys that got put to death that no doubt in my mind I will see again. And there's a couple that are right where they belong because they rejected the free gift of salvation. That's the only reason they're where they belong. So you can never forget where you're at. Satan is always attacking. I always try to give you the good news at the annual meeting. But you have many attacks, and I hope by showing you a few of these, it will give you something that you can pray for. You have new chaplains who come in. And when they come in, everything that was there, they want to make their own. So if you get somebody in that believes in speaking in tongues and they talk to you and you say, I don't, then their job in their mind is to replace you. How can I get rid of him? I want to get my own people in here. You have to deal with the inmates. Where we're different from a regular church is the inmates are my responsibility until they go back to their cell. So to give you some idea, I show up, I get a radio, I get keys, I go open the chapel, and then I call the control and tell them to release the chapel workers. I unlock the door, I let them in, I run them through the metal detector to make sure they don't have anything on them to stab me or somebody else. I call and tell them I have them secured in the chapel. Then I go in there and they get everything set up. I got to get the drumsticks out and the toilet paper and everything that goes with it for the guys to show up. Then I have to go back out. I have to lock them in the chapel and I have to go back out and call to get 50 other prisoners released or 60. Let them in, lock the door behind them, run them through the metal detector one at a time, check them in, take their ID card, then call control and tell them I have a lock to the chapel. All's well, we're good. I'm in the back of the room, I keep an eye while they're doing music. When they're done, I come to the front of the room, I can keep an eye on them because the door's back there and I'm up here. Only problem with that is if there's a problem, I don't know how I get to the door. But I figure the Lord will take care of that. What a way to go, teaching Bible doctrine to your audience and if he takes you out. There's no problem. Everything's good right up until Fred goes to the bathroom. Now I'm responsible for him. So I have to teach and remember that Fred's at the bathroom. Now Willie over here decides he's going to the bathroom. But Fred's still at the bathroom. And I'm trying to teach. So I have to stop and tell Willie he can't leave. Because I don't know what they're going to do in there. And if there's a stabbing or a fight or something else happens, I'm responsible. So I have to keep track. Now at Bonterre we have 100 men on Sunday night. I have deacons that sit by the door and make sure people leave only one at a time. But at Potosi, you can't have that. The average sentence is 30 years. Most of them are in for murder. I can't have somebody in charge of another because that'd be disrespectful, and I might as well just let the brawl break out and sit back and watch because there's nothing I can do about it. And then you've got those that come to disrupt Bible class. So you'll get a heads up from the administration or the chaplain saying, the white supremacists are coming tonight to disrupt your class. Be ready. So they'll come and show up and they'll disrupt. And it's really like being a parent, which I wasn't good at. I'd always give them like 40 chances. I don't give them but one chance in prison, because if you show a weakness and give them an inch, it's over. You might as well never go back, because they will get you and they will use it against you. So if you have to call somebody down, you better immediately be ready to take action. Whether calling to get the SWAT team down there to get them out of there if it's necessary, or to get a CO to come down and set in, you have to do something. So I only give them one chance. And that one chance, if you violate it, you're going. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. No matter if it takes 30 minutes, you're out. It's done. So you have to deal with that in the prisons. You have to deal with the guards and the administrators. You know, if you're in prison and I'm in there teaching and they go around, check cars in a lot, and my door's open, I violated security. Because the inmate could have somebody put something in my car to compromise me. I check my Bible before I leave, my notebook, because they stick stuff in them. If you're caught with it, you violated the rule. It's not on the prisoner, it's on you. Everything you do, you're responsible for. When I became a VIC and went to the training and got all that training, everything changed. But it's opened all these doors, and the Lord has protected me. And you have to deal with the opposition of the denominational groups. There's no way around that. They are entrenched. They are there. They want whatever time you have. They will use inmates against you, which is a violation of the rules. You can't talk about another staff member. When I'm in a prison, I'm considered staff. So if a prisoner talks about me, that's a write-up. That's a violation. They're going to get written up for it. But these other guys will say to the chaplain, you know, old Watson over there, he's teaching that grace stuff, or he's teaching rebound. He's telling them it's okay to sin. Just confess it. And you got to look out. The prisoners are taking that all wrong. And then you get called on the carpet for it. Hey. Or if you send them notes and you put a personal note in it, you might as well not show up next week because you're done. You can't do any of that. And it's for your protection, because if they give you a card and says, you know, I don't have any money and my mama's really sick, could you mail this? Just drop it in the mailbox. And then you do. You know what's probably in it? Oh, a hit, or beat somebody up, or get me drugs. And you're immediately a part of that conspiracy. And that's the way it's phrased. So you just, but it makes it easy in our job. Because when I'm done teaching, I tell them, you write me. Well, no, just take my name and number. No. If you're interested, you write me. I don't have any stamps. You get stamps for everything else. If you're really positive, you'll write me. And if you're not, don't write. I don't care. I did my duty tonight. Now it's on you. And I move on. As Joe was once told at a prison, this is not Walmart. You cannot come and go and go and come. Stay where you're supposed to be. So as I went to these facilities, I knew immediately that I couldn't go to all these prisons every week and teach them. First, that's not how it works. You're only a certain amount of a time. These guys are in prison. They're not like they can go hang out and do whatever they want. And they have to be in a certain location, even if it's in a lower level prison. And that room may be booked for the Catholics getting communion, or may be booked for a movie. You just can't show up and have them every week. So as I learned the system and what they could do, I said, I'm just going to take a step back. We'll step through the open doors and we'll see how the Lord wants this done. So then the opportunity opened for me to be a VIC, where I could go to all these various prisons on any night. And before that, I had to get cleared every time, and that was like a month process. They run a background check, a criminal records check. They run checks on personal references. They do all that. And then you have to have tuberculosis checks. I mean, I get 2 tuberculosis tests every year. You got to get all these things done to make sure that you're not spreading diseases. So it's a real hassle. But now I'm on a schedule. I go to training every year. I go to the prison rape elimination training every year. I go to getting TB shots or test twice a year. So I'm on top of everything. It's set up on my birthday. It's nice and easy. We've got a real system because of my position now. But before, you had to be checked. So I couldn't get in right away. It would take a month and, oh, I'm going to be out of town with Rick. Now they can call and say, can you come Thursday night? Sure, I'll be there. I walk in, swipe my ID card, take my key tab, go in, put my thumbprint on, take out my keys, get a radio, and I walk around like I own the place. So it's a big difference. And you can do that in the state of Missouri and in Illinois and in Kansas and the Bureau of Prisons. So it's really given a lot of freedom in this area to go do things. So that really was the next step for us. So what's the difference? You say you go into a prison, you go into a jail. What's the difference? Quickly, a jail, you got somebody that may be in there for 30 days for not paying child support, or 90 days for DWI. They're just there enjoying life, taking a vacation. That's all they're doing. Most of them get to go to work during the day. They come back in the afternoon. You've got those that are awaiting trial. That's a bigger deal. They're longer term. And then you got some that are being held for federal trial. They don't have a jail here, so they put them in the outlying jails around town. Then they break you down in pods. So you got the child molesters over here, and you got the rapist over here, and you got this group over here. And when you go in, they make an announcement. Anybody wants to come to church can come to church. And they open up the cells. They're all right up here, and they come down. And while you're trying to teach five people who are not paying attention, the guys up in their cells are doing stupid stuff and acting like a fool, and it's completely disruptive. There's absolutely no way to have a good academic environment. I don't like going to jails. The worst jail around is St. Louis City Jail. It is unbelievable. It's like a jungle there with air conditioning is not any good. You're sweating. It's bad. Prisons are a lot different. Why? Because they have a chapel. They have a chaplain on staff. Jails don't have a chaplain on staff. They use somebody from the community, and then they only want to use whatever their pastor uses. Even if it's wrong, he doesn't care. That's what they want you to have. Jails, you can't send anything with staples in them. You can't send any color copies. You have to handwrite the address on every letter. Can't send books to them. It's a mess. I have to cut off the bottom showing the internet on notes because I can't show that. Joe Griffin Media Ministries. Jail's not like that. There's a few exceptions and because people are jerks, but you just work around it. You find out who don't want you to send color copies and you don't send them. And you find out who don't want staples and you just make a note. And you just don't send it. We have a good system, so we don't worry about that. But in these jails, not a good environment for learning. You have to really focus and stay focused. Prison, you have the opportunity to go to the chapel. When you go in there, you have an environment that's available for learning. You can send in self-addressed stamped envelopes to go with our courses. Jails, you can't do that. You can do the notes. You can do the books. And we've even been able to get into MP3s and all that, which we'll be able to do. As inmates transferred from one location to another, they took our material and they were then passed on at the new facility. Inmates are transferred for a lot of reasons. Maybe their security level changed so they can go from a high to a medium or a medium to a low. That's good for them. Or they may be getting ready to get out and they have to go to a drug treatment facility. So that's another prison or sex offender facility so they can get treatment there before they get out. When they leave, they take our material with them. And nothing in prison is thrown away. You got an old pair of shorts, you put them on top of the trash can, somebody takes them. You got old shower shoes, you put them on top of the trash can, somebody takes them. You got Bible class notes, you put them on top of the trash can. You got God Exists books, Divine Pardon, put them on top of the trash can. So if you're not interested, somebody else picks them up that may be. And many of our letters are, I found this. You're not going to believe this. I've been looking for this. This is amazing. What else do you have? How it got there, I have no idea. But the fact of the matter was the right person picked it up. And that's what's exciting. In 2011, we set up a 501c3 and said, you know what? Let's go all in. God shuts the door. I'm going to have a lot of free time. They say the idle hands are the devil's workshop. There's no workshop. There's not even a building. There's nothing. Because I have no free time. None whatsoever. There's nothing. I got home last night and went right to work on the message for today and tomorrow this morning. On top of it, I had 135 letters that was in the mailbox this morning that we've got to get through over the next 9 days before I leave again. So there's a lot to do. No free time. So I said, you know what the heck? I'm going to jump in full time. I can travel with Rick this way and not have to worry about the job. I can go out to all the prisons the Lord opens the door to, and I'm going to do it. And we did it. And even though opportunities come up even this year, hey, come do this. Look at this. We can pay you this month. There'll be health insurance. Not interested. Quit calling. Leave me alone. Hey, would you like to go to my website and see what our ministry is all about? That's been the most exciting time of my life. I said I went from the outhouse to the penthouse. It's just amazing. So that's what we looked like in 2011 when we went full-time. That's 20 prisons across the United States of America. And you can see the bulk of them are in Missouri and Illinois. In 2012, Rick Hughes wrote a book called The Divine Pardon. And it's been an amazing tool that we've used. We've sent out 4,000 of these books in English and over 900 in Spanish since that book came out in 2012. And the Lord opened another door in 2012, and that was the classification and transfer units. And this is when things took off. 1 year after we stepped out on faith and said, we're going to do this, a new adventure started. We got a call, actually it was an email, from Chaplain Ince at Oklahoma City, and that's the Federal Transfer Center for all federal prisons. And Chaplain Ince said, you know, I saw your books. It was given to me by an inmate. How many of these can I get? Because every inmate that comes through here, I want to give him your ministry information in these books. This is some good stuff, and I want to give it to him. I said, okay, that sounds great. You have all you want. He goes, well, what's the cost? I said, it's free. He goes, will you put that in writing? I said, sure, no problem. You know? He sent me a form from the federal government saying, we're giving this to you. And we did. Sent it all to him. Next thing you know, I get a letter from somebody in Elkton, Ohio. I've never been to Elkton. I don't even know where it is. And the letter said, I got this material. Okay, what else do you have? So I sent him some more information. Now we have a whole group of people at Elkton. I've been invited to go there. And that's pretty exciting. I got a real neat letter at the end from a corrections officer from Elkton. People ask me, how'd you get to Elkton? Oh, no. So what I did was, I wrote this individual and said, how'd you get this information? And he wrote me back and said, I found it on a trash can. So somebody that had went through Oklahoma City, got this book, either read it or didn't, threw it on a trash can, somebody else picked it up, and now we're in Elkton, Ohio. And the same is true for Miami. The same is true for Coleman 1 and 2 in Coleman, Florida. The same is true for Berlin, New Hampshire. The same is true for West Virginia and Oakdale, Louisiana, and Seganville and Beaumont in Texas. And it just started taking off, but the Lord wasn't done opening that door. So then, when you go to prison in the state prison system, you go to a classification unit. Classification unit is they check you for tattoos, you see a doctor, a psychiatrist, you get what's your violence background so they know if they're going to send you to trustees so you can go out and pick up trash on the side of the road, or you have to be locked down 23 hours a day. That's how it works. So the Missouri Eastern Regional Diagnostic and Correctional Center in Bon Terre took all of our materials and started handing it out there. And all of a sudden we were getting letters from Licking, Missouri, and St. Joe, and Jeff City, and Algoa, and Bowling Green, and all these correctional facilities. And then it happened in Illinois. And then the biggest one, and you'll see when we go back to this chart again, Chaplain Taylor at the Joe F. Gurney unit in Palestine, Texas, sent me a note and said, how do I get your material? I want to give it to every inmate that comes through our transfer unit. And that started the ball rolling in a big way. And then he put us on a resource guide for accurate Bible teaching for be available on a grace basis to prisoners. And after that, it was hard to keep up with it. Word of mouth is another way. We have a lady I met at Baraka came up and talked to me when I was there and said, my brother's in prison and I was referred to you. Can you help me out? I got in the mail today, book number 10 of our course, which was The Barrier. He just finished it. He was antagonistic to doctrine before, and there's a note saying, where's my next set of James notes? I was in Kansas City. I won't give you a bunch of stories, but I try to stay in the background. You got the professionals there. You got Joe and Bobby Thieme and Rick Hughes. I just stay in the background. So I was standing there just waiting for class to start, and a man and lady to the left of me said hello, and I said hello back. And they came over, and they said, oh, do you go to the Kansas City Tape Group? And I said, no, I go to Joe Griffin's church. And they said, oh, what are you doing here? I said, well, I travel with Rick. You know, I'm just helping Rick out. And they go, what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I'm in the ministry, and I have a prison ministry. And her face just went blank. And she goes, you know, I listen to Bobby, and I've been praying about a doctrinal prison ministry in Kansas because my brother is in prison, and I have been witnessing to him, and I've been trying to get him materials, and I can't get it into prison. And when I go visit him and when I talk to him on the phone, we talk doctrine. Is there any way that you could help me? And I said, well, which prison? I started naming them all off that we're in. She said, the Lansing Correctional Center. I said, no problem. I'll have it to him by the end of the week. And she goes, I cannot believe this just happened. And I said, there's no accidents in the plan of God. What are the odds to the average person that we would sit together at a conference and then strike up a conversation? And then she would need somebody to get biblical information to her brother who was positive, but you guys can't send it in direct. I was not surprised. In 2013, we decided to set up tape groups where there was enough positive volition to have one. And that was the next step we took. We would provide MP3 players and headsets along with the doctrine. And the first place we had was Winfield, Kansas. One of the men from Marion, Illinois got released, had a state sentence to fulfill. So the Kansas State Department of Corrections picked him up at Marion, took him to the Winfield Correctional Center. He took the doctrinal material and went in and showed it to the chaplain. And on Thanksgiving 2 years ago, the chaplain called me and said, hey, I got some opening, got some time. It's going to be a little cold. How'd you like to come in and teach Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday? I said, okay, I've never been there. I'll go. Went there, told him the usual speech. At the end, if you're positive, here's my address. Drop me a note. If you are, here's what I can do for you. Not, been real good to be with you. In fact, they had such a good praise band, by the way. They gave me a MP3 they made that they give the visitors when they come to that prison. I still have that MP3 if you want to listen to it. It's not very good. So we got a lot of response. About 30 guys responded with letters. We're sending all these notes. So I called the chaplain and said, hey, how about if we do an MP3 tape group? That sounds good to me. We'll set aside the time and we'll make them available for individual checkouts so they can sit in the chapel and listen to doctrine whenever they want. I said, okay. He goes, but there's one issue. We don't have any money. I said, I didn't ask for any money. I said, I'll just order these off Amazon. I'll send them to you. You tell me the requirements, so I now have it in our database for future prisons, and I'll send them to you. He goes, well, okay. He goes, but they got to be this headset. I said, just tell me what you need. I'll take care of it. He goes, okay. I sent him, and he called me back and said, you took care of it. I said, yeah. Just make sure the inmates have that. He goes, I got it. No problem. That was our first tape group, and it's still going. So by 2014, the Lord had put the pieces in place so accurate Bible teaching could be made available to inmates in many, many locations where it had not been made available before. It had nothing to do with me, as you can see. God just kept moving the chess pieces to make sure the accurate teaching of His Word was made available to those who were positive. And in 2015, we started putting together what I call our correspondence course. And in late 2015, I let four inmates know who had been studying with us 6 years. By studying with us, they'd been doing all the books, writing. Hey, what about this? Do you have a study on that? And I'd print out Joe's studies off the website. Paul, I'm one of your most frequent users, especially when I was doing my doctrinal questionnaire. And I would send it to them, and they were always involved with us. So I thought, what a great place to bounce this off them. So I sent them to these four individuals. They sent them right back with a few suggestions. And they were good ones. So we made a couple changes to them. Next thing, we didn't tell anybody else, just those four. And about the time they hit the fifth book, which was Know What God Thinks, I know that's really book three, but it's four because who loves you is first. So we have a system here. So by the time they got to book four, I start getting all these other letters saying, how do I get this correspondence course? Well, just send it to them. Here, you have whatever you want. And that has really grown, and you're getting ready to see in a minute how much the Lord has used that to get Bible doctrine out there. It has now spread to both men and women in prison, and it's been amazing. I received a letter today from a young lady who said, I'm doing all these studies, and I'm writing a synopsis and sending them to my husband. Is it okay if I give him your contact information? Then on Facebook, I received an email, a note, some of you saw it, that said, my husband's in prison in Illinois, and he's become a believer in your Bible classes, and now he's doing these courses. How do I do the courses? And Emily, if she's listening tonight, and she may be, she'll know who she is. She's doing the courses with us now and studying along with us. So that's both sides of the coin, a wife to a husband and a husband to a wife. The next piece God moved into place was for us to be able to let the inmates download Bible doctrine from the prison TrueLinks to their iPods and actually listen to Bible class whenever they wanted. And this is the latest and next step in providing doctrine to the inmates. This will allow us to get Bible doctrine to all the state prisons and federal prisons through this program. We are in the process of letting the state departments of corrections know that this is available, free of charge, and that they can offer to their inmates so they can download accurate Bible teaching whenever they want. And our pilot program is working unbelievable. That's the growth also in the correspondence courses. Because I want to grow faster. Okay? And you're going to see the hidden benefits of this program in one of the letters I'm going to read at the end from an administrator at a prison. We'll see how everyone responds with this being available. God knows He's opening the door, and as you can see, He keeps moving all these pieces to provide accurate teaching to those that want it. So you say, okay, I get invited to these prisons. I do a spiritual emphasis day, weekend. That's usually, I try to get at least 2 days if I can, because you can't really get through anything in an hour. It just doesn't happen. And if there's any positive volition, then we move forward with the notes. But we don't send them correspondence, courts, notes, send them all this junk. That's a waste of time and money. You send them the notes and let them know what's available. You list it out. We always add them to our prayer list, and we tell them that. Then it's up to their positive volition to respond. If they write back and say, I want the course, great. If they write back and say, I don't want the notes, I want the course, we have some that do that. We do that. We have some that do both, some that do one or the other. And we have some that write back and say, you're a nut job. We're not interested. You're crazy. I think I said at the annual meeting, I had one write me and say, everybody in the world knows but Joe Griffin, Jesus was born on Christmas Day. They write back and you would not believe the letters I get. There's some, if I read from the pulpit, I would never be allowed in any church in America again. Where they come up with these questions, and I'm not even going to give you a hint on what they say. They are bad. But I answer questions except the stupid ones. I just throw those in the trash can. I do. And the one that told me I'm an idiot, I get that all the time. I just trash him. It used to bother me, and I thought, man, I'm in good company. You think Joe's an idiot? I'm an idiot? Okay, I'm pretty good with that. So it's not a problem. How do we handle our questions, though? We get a lot of letters. I let the experts handle it. I try to always write a paragraph or two because it helps me recall doctrine. It helps me use what I've learned. They write a question on tongues. I tell them, I'm enclosing under separate cover a book that will cover everything you need to know on tongues. I send it to them. But if they're doing the course, I always tell them, whatever the book it is, this does not count as credit. There's no study guide with this. You'll get this later on and you still have to pass it. If not, you don't pass the course. Period. But I send it to them. If we don't have a book for it, we do for most things. I go through Joe's notes. I print out those notes and I tell him, here's the information. Got any questions, let me know. And I send it to him. I let them take care of the details. Keeps me out of long, drawn-out letters. I'm saying this, you're saying that. Because in every prison, there's a spiritual king of the mountain, and there are giants. They can win any sword drill. They know more verses than I'll ever know. And they're quick to let you know, and I tell them, I know when you're done here, you're going to go back up to your cell block and tell everybody that I'm a big idiot. I know that. So I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the other folks. I don't have time for what they had to sell me. So if it comes from Joe, that's coming from the authority of our pastor. And I consider them under this ministry. They are under the authority of Joe Griffin. Therefore, he responds. The book, Joe, Tongues, Prayer, that's coming from this church. Let them answer the questions. If I can't find anything on it, I'll do research and try to give them some guidance. So that's how we answer questions. So here's where we're at today. 210 prisons across the country. I'm being conservative. It's a little more than that. But that's where we're at today. We send Bible class notes to 840 inmates every month. That's three documents, 10 pages each, every month. Don't forget, we got some left in the attackers. We have some in Jesus as the Messiah, and we have some in James. Eventually, everybody will be in James. But until then, I've got them spread out all over, so you have to make sure you keep track. We have 25 tape groups across the country, all studying Bible doctrine. And we have almost 500 inmates doing the correspondence course. Several inmates are on book number 38. That means they've done all of Joe's, all of Rick Hughes, and that's 11. And that means they've done 26 of Colonel Thiem's books. That's a lot of questions in 36. Heck, one day at a time is 250. Because what we do is we start with Who Loves You, and the basic series ends at Divine Pardon. And then we get into the spiritual life, and that starts with Plan of God, and from there to Trinity, Slave Market of Sin, the barrier, then rebound, isolation of sin. That's the order they go in. From there, the old sin nature, mental attitude dynamics, divine guidance, prayer, witnessing, prodigal son, one day at a time. 250 questions to see if they learned anything in those first books. It's 20 books to get the one day at a time, which is book number 21. And then they get a little breather. They do dying grace, giving, gives them a little break. And then they got to do Christian suffering. And then the integrity of God. And it goes on. So that's pretty cool. We have sent out in the past 12 months over 4,000 books of Joe's, Rick, and the Colonel. I know I said I sent out 4,000 books of Rick Hughes' Divine Pardon, but that's since the book started. These are just in the last 12 months. But you can imagine 500 inmates doing the course, and they all get a book a month. It's going to add up even quicker in the future. And it's not about the numbers. I'm just giving you some idea to see God's grace in this ministry. And I tried to show you the chess pieces as he moved them. Oh, we're going to go teach. We're going to send notes. Oh, we're going to send notes and books. Oh, we're going to go in and teach. Oh, we're going to get a tape group started. Oh, by the way, now you're going to be in the classification centers. Now they're going to be able to download it. And in the meantime, we're just going to keep spreading it out. Making Bible studies available to the inmates via TrueLinks so they have the ability to download Bible doctrine to their iPods and actually listen to Bible class whenever they want. And this is the latest and next step in providing Bible doctrine to the inmates. So that's where we're at today. I want to close by saying I'm not a one-man show. I can't do what I do without the prayers of all of you. It just doesn't happen. Also, I have so many who support me so I can drive on the road around this country as much as I do. I have an amazing wife and family. I have all of you who grade test. I have them in Florida and Michigan. What a wonderful Michigan Dorito group up there. I have them here in St. Louis grading test. It's just amazing to have. I have one in Florida. It's just unbelievable to have them do this. There would be no way we could continue the courses without their help. I know I put a big burden on them, but I appreciate what they do. And the inmates, if you, and they read the letters, they see them, the notes they write. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can't believe you do this. We've been blessed with great organization skills so that we can track all this, spreadsheets for who's on what course where and when they finished what and who got what set of notes. That in itself, if we didn't have that all set up, and my daughter did an amazing job putting this together, we can track everything. And we know where every inmate is at every moment in time for what they need and when the next set needs to go. It's just amazing. And then we have those who do the certificates and the notes that go with them. I couldn't do it without them. And all those who support, they supplement the copies that I need, the postage when I need it extra. Baraka, ordering their books for me. When I got home, I had big cases of books from Baraka because I need that in my setup. I have storage shelves where I can just pull anything out at any given time. I have everything I need so that we can just pop this stuff in the mail. I could go on and on, but you get the picture. I'm not alone in this ministry. So tomorrow night, I will set up how most Bible classes start. And when I'm in a prison, and then I'll teach you what I teach them, and that'll give you the final piece of the puzzle. And as we close, I want to say it's amazing that God would allow our ministry to grow in such a phenomenal way. I want to make it clear, it has nothing to do with me at all. I'm just a big fat loser, and I'm good with it. But if God can bless me in this ministry, think of what He can do for you in your life. If you faithfully take in God's Word, and have the courage to apply it in your life every day. I'm going to read these two letters and then we'll close. It says, this, I can't read their names, so that's why I didn't put it on the screen. This is from a lady who works in a mail room in a jail. She helped us get material into an inmate that was not allowed until this lady wrote. First of all, thank you for reading my email. I work at a sheriff's office and take care of inmate mail. Recently, I came across your material, and I would like to receive your studies if it's possible. Again, thank you for your time, sincerely. And then another letter, thank you for telling me about Joe Griffin Media Ministries. I've been listening live to the study of James and doing the basic study as well. I'm so grateful I found your ministry. I can't get enough. And then I mentioned a prison earlier that I don't even know where it's located, but I will. I got to put my glasses on for this one. This guy wrote small. I'm a correctional officer. I found your ministry and that of Grace Doctrine Church through the inmate TrueLinks. We have several correctional officers who are listening to the 89 basics and getting close to finishing that study, and we look forward to the next lessons when they're available. Thank you for what you do, and through your website, we're now finding more Bible studies available at both Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries. We're also sharing material with our families and others. It is our hope you will be able to visit our facility in the near future. Doctrine conquers all, and there's no accidents in the plan of God. So tomorrow night, we'll take you through a typical Bible class. Hope tonight wasn't too boring. It was okay. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time you provided tonight to show and tell all the great things you have done to bless Philippi Ministry, and to allow us to be an instrument to spread the gospel and accurate Bible teaching. Father, I ask that you bless and protect all who help and support us as we seek to do your will. And finally, we ask that you protect Joe and Johinra and bring them back safely to us. And we lift these prayers in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.